from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Pope Francis recently approved a miracle that will make Mother Teresa a canonized saint later this year. And this week on Register Radio, Jeanette DiMello and Register reporter Joseph Pronishin look at the healing attributed to this saint of mercy. Also, Register reporter Peter Jesserer Smith shares what college students are doing this Jubilee year. Welcome again to Register Radio, a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DiMello, editor-in-chief of the Register. Thanks for joining us. Our first guest, Joseph Pronishin, has been a staff writer with the Register since 2005. His articles have appeared regularly in a number of national publications. He talks with Jeanette today about the healing attributed to Mother Teresa.
Well, Joe, this is the first time I'm talking to you in the new year on radio. Actually, it's my first interview in the new year on radio. So, Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too, and to all our Register listeners.
And we've got some wonderful news that happened at the end of 2015, and that is that Mother Teresa will be canonized this year in 2016. Many of our listeners have probably already heard about that because Pope Francis approved a miracle on December 17th. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Joe, do we know when the canonization will take place?
It's not made official yet. It won't be. We believe it's going to be on September 4th. The Vatican has kind of leaked to that a little bit. They've said it unofficially.
Why is that a special day?
It's a special day because it happens to be the Jubilee for Workers and Volunteers of Mercy, and it'd be perfect for Mother Teresa's canonization because of all the works of mercy she did with her life. She's a sort of saint of mercy, and her. Feast day, would be September 5th, the following day.
Okay.
So it works out perfectly that way.
So we'll wait and see, huh, if that's actually what's going to be announced.
Yes, they think the official approval has to come from the Synod of Bishops that will be meeting, bishops that will be meeting in March. And I would doubt if they would change it simply because names in the Vatican have already said they're pretty sure it's September 4th. I doubt they would release something like that unless it was actually going to happen.
Sure, of course. Now, you recently spoke to Father Brian Kalaudacek, who is the postulator of Mother Teresa's cause. He is a father of the Missionaries of Charity, and he must have been really excited about this news. What was it like to talk to you about the canonization of someone he knew so well?
Oh, it was wonderful because he's been working on and he was excited, yes. He's been working on the cause since it began in 1999, and he's been very shortly thereafter he was appointed the postulator. So he has been at the top of the pyramid, if we can say, mm-hmm. in that effort to see Mother Teresa canonized since that date.
Joe, you recently spoke to Father Brian Kalaudacek, who's the postulator of Mother Teresa's cause. He must have been very excited about this news that the canonization was moving forward, especially in this year of mercy. What was it like to talk to him?
Yes, it was really something to hear him give all the details on it. And he said the gentleman, who is now 42 years old, lives in Santos, Brazil, and it was he was this happened in 2008. The miracle actually happened. He was suffering from various sicknesses that affected his brain, and he got several lesions on the brain. The doctors for months could not cure it. It just kept getting worse. They had no idea what to do. Finally, the man went into a coma. He had a top neurosurgeon that was working with him, and all the doctors were just at wit's end. They didn't know what they could do, and the man was dying. He was actually dying. And on December 9th, they were going to try one last-ditch effort to save him, the neurosurgeon was. And he ordered him down to the and there was little hope in that because he was already dying at that particular point, literally going to die that day. And they were wheeling him down to the operating room. In the meantime, his wife, who had been praying for specifically for Mother Teresa's intercession, since that March, went to the parish church to pray with the priest for a miracle. She had been praying, the relatives had been praying, and the priest had been praying specifically, and that's an important point, specifically to Mother Teresa for this miracle. At 6:10, she began praying, and this is interesting because Father Kolettercheck brought this out specifically, the times. At 6:10, she began praying with the parish priest to Saint Blessed Mother Teresa. At 6:10, the surgeon was in the operating room but left momentarily. At 6:40, the woman and the priest stopped praying. It seemed at that point they had concluded their prayers. And at 6:40, the surgeon had walked in. Now, the news was he was going to get was the anesthesiologist was unable to give him the man the anesthesia because of certain medical procedures that were impossible at that point to administer to him. So mm-hmm. the man was going to die there. But when the surgeon walked in, instead of hearing the news from the anesthesiologist, the man was sitting up on the operating table asking, what am I doing here?
So the patient was sitting up asking, what am I doing here?
Yes.
He completely awoke from the coma at the same time his wife walked out of the church.
Exactly.
Praying for him.
Exactly, praying for that when they conclude their prayer to Mother Teresa. Exactly. So, and Father Kolettercheck stressed that point. He says, it's just amazing to hear.
That is, it's such a beautiful story. I mean, what timing and what drama, really. But what's so interesting is this was 2008 that you said this healing took place. Why now? Are we only hearing about it now? It's 2015 when the Pope approved it. So what has happened in these last 7 years?
In the last 7 years, the interesting thing is nobody told Father Kolettercheck about it. Nobody informed the office about it. They just kept it down in Santos to themselves, apparently, and just celebrated there. But the neurosurgeon, he said, who was a non-Catholic, he was somehow internally moved when Pope Francis went to South America for his recent trip. And he was decided to tell one of the priests down in Santos about this particular miracle that he himself claimed was a miracle, obviously. And that's how it got the ball rolling. And this was in 2013. So Father Kolettercheck did not hear of the miracle until after the Pope's visit to South America, and not until 2013. And they immediately worked on it to get all the approvals from it. And they're very stringent, the policies are. It has to go through the medical teams first and all. And obviously there was no problem with the diocesan investigation, with all the doctors cooperating.
Sure. Well, it's really amazing how the Lord works. I mean, how interwoven his work is. You know, it took 7 years for this to become public, and Pope Francis, in a way, had a hand in it because it was his visit that stirred this man's heart, a non-Catholic, to actually bring forth the miracle. So it's just such a beautiful sign of the interwovenness of the Holy Spirit, of God's mercy, that this is going to happen in the year of mercy. How awesome is that?
Exactly, yes. In fact, that's what Father Kolettercheck had mentioned, that he says he believes it was divine providence that held it mm-hmm. back, too, because of the year of mercy, and he wanted Mother Teresa canonized, the Lord did want Mother Teresa canonized in the year of mercy, specifically for that.
Sure. Well, the Register article that we're talking about, that you wrote, is called Mother Teresa 2016 Saint of Mercy, and this is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio, and I'm speaking with Joe Pronishin, and we're talking about the canonization of Mother Teresa, which will happen sometime in 2016. And so that article, Joe, really does give a great idea of how Mother Teresa has been so active and in providing mercy to others. Mm-hmm. And even is an example of how we may live lives of mercy. So what a tremendous saint for this year of mercy. Joe, this was not the only miracle related to Mother Teresa. In fact, not the only miracle related to this man. This one is not an approved miracle, but the man in Santos. What was the other miracle that occurred in his life?
The other miracle was connected with it, and they didn't even present that, as far as I am aware, as part of the one miracle of his instantaneous healing there. And that was, the doctors told him after this, he's perfectly fine, he's back to work, there's no sign of any problems, except he was told after tests, because of the, and he was newly married, by the way, at the time, mm-hmm. when all this started to happen. He was told after all the tests, because of the medications, the tremendous amounts of medications he was given in the various types, he was rendered unable to have children. So they said that's the one disappointment they would have. He would be unable to have children. He has a child born in 2010 and a child born in 2012. So that's, you know, icing on the cake of the miracle.
Absolutely. So Teresa. Such a beautiful, beautiful story. And I also loved in your story, Father Kalidacek pointed out that the Diocese of Santos in Brazil, Santos means saint, the Diocese of Santos has seen two miracles that have made two saints. That's this one here we're talking about, mm-hmm. Of Mother Teresa.
Yes.
And the other one was of Saint Josephine Baquita. There was a miracle that happened also in this diocese. So what a beautiful witness that this diocese called Santos, saint, is producing saints. So
yes.
That's a wonderful witness. You know, Joe, as we're closing this conversation, I just wanted to ask you, what would you say is the charism of Mother Teresa that all of us could reflect on this year, the Year of Mercy, the charism that we should take to heart when we think of Mother Teresa?
Father Kalidacek said that Mother Teresa saw Jesus in every person, everywhere. She would treat them as if she was treating Jesus. And everybody that, he said that everybody who came in contact with her told him, and who would talk to him, told him that they felt they were the only person in the world at that time when she was talking to them, the only person in the room at that time, no matter how many people were crowded around. So we can all treat everybody that way. In fact, Mother Teresa had said, you don't have to go to Calcutta to help the poor. She said, the poor are in your own family. You know, so we could pay attention to each other as if we're paying attention to Jesus. You know, listen when somebody wants to tell you something. We can pray for each other as she prayed continuously. We can give a smile when somebody's a little down in the dumps, and which is what she did. She's noted for her wonderful smile and how she could lighten up people's hearts and spirits and just lift them up out of whatever doldrums they were in at that time. So we can all do those kind of things. And this is the case where he says, Father Kalidacek even said, he says, some saints are hard to imitate, possibly, but some saints are easy to imitate. She is one of those because of that simplicity she had. She did everything simply and did every small, the tiniest things with great love. You know, somebody's not feeling good, do the dishes for them that day, and it's a sign of great love. And give them a smile and tell them, sit down, take it easy. You know, just little things like that. So we can all do that in this year.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. The small merciful acts, in imitation of Jesus and seeing Jesus in every person as Mother Teresa did. Joe, thanks for being with us today. I encourage our listeners to read your article, Mother Teresa 2016, Saint of Mercy. They might also check out a column that we have by Bishop Barron on called Saint of Light, Saint of Darkness, which is also about Mother Teresa. So, again, thanks for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome, Jen. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
When we return, we'll talk about the Year of Mercy and what some college students are doing about it. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
In today's world, we have all kinds of misinformation and even disinformation about Christianity, Catholicism, and religion in general. And we need a source that is going to give us direct quotations and authentic news about what is going on in the church, so we know what the Pope really said and not what the media said he said. We need to know what the Synod is doing, what the encyclicals mean, in order to be able to give the facts of our faith. For that reason, we need the National Catholic Register. which will give us the good news along with the hard news of our world today. And in that way, we can have what we need to go out to our world and give them the good news of Jesus Christ.
For a free 6-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-421-3230 for your 6 free issues.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Peter Jesserer Smith, is a staff reporter for the Register. Peter helped cover Pope Francis's historic visit to Jerusalem and the Holy Land, as well as the Syrian and Iraqi refugee crisis. Today, Peter is here to discuss what college students are doing in this Jubilee year.
Welcome back to Register Radio, Peter.
Hey, thank you, Jeanette. It's great to be back.
You know, this year of mercy only began a month ago, but already you've written at least 3 stories on this subject.
Yes.
There must be something about this year that's really striking a chord with you. What is that?
Well, I think the Pope has really tapped into something that our world needs more than ever, which is the concrete experience of God's love, both received and given in people's lives. I mean, I talk to so many people who say that they don't read news anymore because it's so depressing. There's so much bad stuff out there, and I encourage them to read our stuff because we have a lot of positive stories. To tell, but really, I think the Pope is seeking to get people to invigorate their faith by becoming more like Jesus through doing works of mercy, the spiritual and corporal works of mercy, and by doing that, become Jesus Christ for others. I think it's just what we need.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think you're right on. I think there's a lot of negative news, and I know you really enjoy highlighting the positive. That's something you excel at the Register, and we're really grateful for that.
Oh, well, you know, I actually, when I started working with the Register, I kind of took in the motto that St. Paul says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Well, sin creates bad news, but grace creates good news. So there must be a lot of good news stories for us to cover. So that's what I've really been enjoying doing at the Register.
That's what you're on the hunt for, grace. That's awesome. So,
yeah.
One recent story that you did that highlighted grace is actually called Mercy on the Quad.
Yes.
And this story is about college students around the country who are getting into this Jubilee Year of Mercy. What were some of the ways that college students are entering into this year?
Well, that was one of the things I thought was really great, especially how college students, youth, are responding to the Pope's call for a Year of Mercy. And So I talked with a few different people, and one of them was my own alma mater, Christendom College, was doing a 10,000 Acts of Kindness outreach campaign, and they've had a great response. They've really created a culture of service there at Christendom. They have about 30% of the student body goes on mission trips, so they've really wanted to expand. And so what they've been doing is they've been doing these mission trips to different cities, like Philadelphia, into Washington, D.C., up to New York, where the point has been to really give students an encounter with Christ through personal experiences with the poor and those in need and those on the margins. By serving this person, you're making a personal connection, and you're not simply giving them a sandwich. You're making a relationship. You're basically being Christ to them. And so that was one of the great things going on there. At Steubenville, there was a student by the name of Emily McMahon. She's a sophomore there. And what her idea was, she wanted to do, she created this idea called Project Mercy, where you have an outreach event of doing 7 works of mercy on over 2 weekends. And she worked with Franciscan University of Steubenville, and they had a lot of participation. But, you know, the thing that comes across from both of these is that people come away transformed, not because they've just given something to a person in need. The conversations I've had is that people come away feeling like they receive so much more from the poor and those in need.
Sure.
By being there. It's a
grace,
it's a
multiplies. Yeah.
It's grace.
Right, exactly. This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking to our Register correspondent, Peter Jesser-Smith, and we're talking about Mercy on the Quad, the ways that college students are getting involved in this Year of Mercy. And Peter, you just mentioned Franciscan University and this Project Mercy that they did over a couple of weekends. I think they're going to do more of those because it was so successful, where they were focusing on works of mercy. And, you know, I went to Franciscan University. That's my alma mater. Mm-hmm. And I had an experience while I was there related to the works of mercy that it was really transformative in my own life. And
really?
I had signed up for this program where you visit shut-ins, and it was over the course of a full semester that you go and you visit someone who is homebound. And I started visiting this woman and realized over the course of the entire semester how important my visit was to her, that mm-hmm. it was something that she looked forward to each week. And if I had only gone once to visit her, that would have probably made me feel really good. I just did something nice, something kind. But going through the course of the whole semester was actually a real effort on my part to borrow a car. I didn't have a car, so I had to borrow a car to do it. I had to make the time to do it. I had to schedule it, all of that. It was a lot of effort, but it instilled in me that service, in order to really transform me and to really help another, should be a deep commitment. It shouldn't be something we just do once and it that's good enough. We did our good deed. It's really something that should be ingrained in our lives, a part of our life, something we seek to do all the time, not for our own sake per se, but really for that other and seeing Jesus in that other. And I learned that in a great way at Steubenville, and I still try to keep some consistent way of getting involved in the works of mercy in my own life. And I'm really grateful for this coverage of the college students, because I think it's a formative time where they also may learn this experience that they keep with them for the rest of their lives.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the things that I think these colleges are really trying to encourage. I mean, particularly with Chapel University of America and other people, whom I talk to as well, they are really using the Year of Mercy to emphasize different things that they already have going on. And the idea mm-hmm. is that get people involved in works of mercy so that it becomes a part of their fabric of their life. It's not mm-hmm. just something you do once, but you need to do it so that if, they have training a next generation of lawyers, but to have lawyers who recognize that, there's a need for them to step up and help the poor claim, legal rights to shelter, or donate some of their time to helping people prepare tax returns, or for immigrants to navigate the citizenship process. I mean, it helps create a sense in people's lives that there's a need for them, if they're going to follow Christ, to give back and to give to these people. Just to kind of share a bit of a personal story, but I tell you, the Year of Mercy is not simply a platitude. It is really, mercy is hard, and doing mercy consistently is really hard, because it really helps us encounter Christ. But Christ has wounds, and he's crucified, and he's risen, but you don't get to the resurrection without going through the cross. And one of the most important experiences in my life was having the opportunity to take care of my own grandmother as she was dying. And perhaps it didn't look big in the grand scheme of things, but I mean, my role was I would visit her, and I would read poetry to her, and sing the old Anglican hymns that she really enjoyed. And sometimes we'd have the same conversation several times over. But what I realized was that her life was brightened up enormously by this encounter, this freaking conversation and experience, because I was validating her human dignity, her dignity to be treated as, you know, a 92-year-old woman. But more importantly than that is that she was teaching me the enormous amount of patience and love that you have for people in all walks of life. And I tell you, there were some days in which I just didn't want to go over and see her, because it's hard to be so close to somebody's suffering and decline.
Right.
But I will tell you, I was so happy those days that I did, because I just felt transformed. I felt like my heart was bigger. So when I moved down to D.C. Temporarily, I had a need to really reach out and to continue to be that for others. And I made a lot of friends with the homeless people.
Sure.
Who, you know, if you want to talk to anybody in D.C., it's the homeless people, because they'll talk to you and you'll have great conversations with them and then go on to work. But mercy makes us more human. And that's the thing I take away.
Well, I think that's a great thing to take away. And I think your coverage during this year of mercy will help to inspire all of us to find ways that we might also enter into this experience of giving mercy and receiving mercy in the very act of giving. So, Peter, thanks so much for being with us. I look forward to more coverage on this year of mercy.
Hey, thanks so much, Jeanette.
Don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for the microphone to listen or download the show. Thanks for joining us on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.